One of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain, and there's quite a variety of them out there, but one of my favorite ones is, it's one of life's greatest injustices that we can't choose our own kin. We are stuck with what you get, what you get when you're born. That's not a choice you make. And maybe, I guess you can choose your spouse, but for the most part, you can't really choose your own family. And for many of us, I think our family is probably our greatest source of joy and our greatest headache and heartache at the same time. It's all kind of one kit and caboodle, one package that comes together. And on this feast of the Holy Family, the church provides us an opportunity to kind of take some time and reflect on the nature of family, the nature of family life, of family life in general, but also in particular in our day and age. When we look at the family, especially today, and when we hold up the example of the Holy Family to be imitated and followed, it's a kind of a different place to do it today than it was 50 or 100 years ago. Today, when I think the statistics say that 46% of children today are not raised by a married mother and father. They're raised by single parent or divorced and remarried parents or any combination of that. So the single parents who are married for the first time and raising their own kids and their own household, they're a minority. And it's, like I said, 46%. That's a minority. So what does this message of the gospel, what does this message of Christianity, our understanding of what the family is, how does that speak to us today? Well, there's a certain crisis in the family, which is why Pope Francis called for the Synod on the Family back in October. This crisis that there's something different, that the church, even though it's not the most popular thing to say now, that the church holds and continues to hold that a mother and a father in a loving relationship truly is the best structure for raising children. And when we look at when the church holds up this example of Joseph and Mary, the Holy Family with Jesus, that's what the church is pointing to us about. But the reality is, that's not the case for everyone. I mean, 54% of families are not together in the traditional sense of a mother and father, nuclear family. So how do we navigate this? How does that apply to us today? Well, the fact is, the family, nuclear or otherwise, particularly as parents, they are called to be teachers, the first teachers of their children. And when Pope Benedict would reflect on this gospel that we have today, he talked about Nazareth being the school of prayer. Of Nazareth being the school where Jesus was taught how to pray. And he said that has to be what the home is. What the family is the school of prayer. I mean, consider, Jesus lived on the earth 33 years. 30 of those 33 years we know next to nothing about. We have this gospel, the snippet of the finding in the temple. A little bit of Luke about the birth of Jesus. But then the vast majority of Jesus' life is spent in silence. Is spent in the school of prayer in Nazareth, being formed by Mary and Joseph. That's quite a point of reflection about the Son of God and what he believes, or the Son of God and what he experienced in his human life and his training. And so the church even today reaffirms parents are the number one teacher of their children. It's not Blessed Sacrament. It's not Capon. It's not Benedictine. It's mom and dad. The school of prayer begins with mom and dad. And when you start looking at statistics, just they did a Church Pew survey of some sorts about determining the major determining factors of whether or not a child continues on in the practice of the faith. The number one factor was not socioeconomic status. It wasn't how much education, Christian, Catholic education they received. That was negligible in the difference it made whether or not a child continued on in the faith. It wasn't even how frequently they attended Mass. you would think that would be a huge factor. It wasn't even the highest factor. The single highest factor determining whether or not a child continued in the practice of the faith was whether or not the father practiced his faith. That's a strong point to think about. And I tell all my couples that I'm preparing for marriage, and I look at the dad, or look at the man, and I say, that's the single greatest determining factor, whether or not a father continues practicing his faith. Kids are smart, and you can tell them, do what I say, not what I do, but actions definitely speak louder than words. And if children see their parents, and particularly a father, humbling himself and going to confession once a month, dragging himself out of bed when he really doesn't want to on a Sunday morning, that will make a deep impression. And of course, you know, it's not foolproof. I mean, there are plenty of good families, parents who raise their children in the faith, my own family for that matter. I mean, there's 10 kids in our family, and only about half of us now are still really practicing. They were raised in the same roof, the same rules, the same daily prayer that I was. So there is obviously a matter of individual choice, of free will. But as a mother and father, you are called to be that example. And if you truly wish to hand on the faith, the greatest way to do that is to practice it yourself. Brothers and sisters, you know, we do live in a world that things are changing constantly. The world kind of hates the way the church holds up family, holds up tradition, holds up marriage as something sacred, not just something disposable. But it's the truth, and it's been handed on to us by God. And you know, it is difficult to have those kind of conversations of are we really doing the best we can to hand on the faith to our children? It's kind of a difficult conversation to have, to be truly honest with yourself. I mean, consider Mary and Joseph when they got a day's journey out and they started looking around, okay, where's Jesus? Well, we left him behind. That couldn't have been a fun conversation for the two of them. And the anxiety as they're trying for 3 days. Imagine losing your kid for 3 days. And being the Son of God, no less. They go back. They find him. But that conversation of, are we leaving them behind? Are we truly putting God first? The difficult conversation to have. But it's certainly worthwhile. As a married individual, as a parent, that is your number one vocation. The practice of the faith and raising, handing on the faith to your children. So just to close, I'd like to leave you with some words from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She said, if you wish to change the world, if you wish to change the world, go home and love your family. If you wish to change the world, go home and love your family. That is the area where you have the greatest influence. And love them enough to hand on the faith to your children.